Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, well, the first thing I need to address is that my new show starts this Tuesday.
Congratulations!
Yeah, I know! Sweat Inc. It's, for goodness sake, hold on.
Let's have a party at your house and watch it.
Time. I can't. I'm in New York promoting it. It's on Tuesday the 20th. Yeah. And I'm going to be live tweeting. I can't, but I come home the next day. I'll tweet to you when it's on. I think it's on at 9.
Yeah, and ask me if I'm watching.
I'm almost sure. I'll be like, Schmander, are you watching? Hang on. I have to Google this. I know it's the 20th, this Tuesday.
Oh, that's great. Jill,
you
I'm so proud
in.
Of you. I will.
Watch
congrats.
The trailer, sweatink.com.
Yeah, you looked good
I think
on
it's
the
at
trailer.
9 o'clock. I know. Yeah.
Hot.
Sizzle. Yeah, so tune in. But with that said, hello. It's the middle of October. Oh, my God. The Halloween thing off the chain. Oh, sorry. October 20th, 10 and 9 Central. 10
p.m.
Yeah. So, dude. Oh, my God. I used to always watch American Horror Story.
Yeah, I
like
did, too.
5 minutes of it.
Nope.
No.
I'm done now, too.
Did you even see, like, the...
Nope.
Mama.
I didn't see any of that.
Yucko shorts. It's, like, too much. It's gruesome. It's gory.
Gone too far.
Nicole showed me this thing the other day. Pull this up. This is repulsive. What is this thing?
A house that was decorated for Halloween, and they have like dummies there. They have a child with a knife in its throat.
Are you serious?
There's more, like, one guy's hanging upside down on a crucifix.
Who
there's a dummy
this?
Hanging from the tree, and they're by a school.
Oh, Ohio.
So, oh, you were
this
saying
Ohio.
Yeah.
Just
by a school?
Movie. Yeah, they're by a school. So apparently children have been terrified to walk home.
Oh my God. I mean, what is the... I get the whole... I actually never did get this. I never understood. I was never the one that would go to the scary movies.
No. See, I'm not into that stuff either. To me, Halloween is like goofy and silly.
Candy.
And doing all that and
yeah.
Candy.
Grandma's dressed as Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
I love jumping out and scaring people. I love being scared, but not with like a knife at somebody's
gore.
Throat.
But that's gore. That's
yeah.
Not... It's. I feel like that's different.
People love that though. What's wrong with you when you're like, I love to see someone get their eyeball ripped out of their head. Fun.
No.
What the... What is wrong with you?
I'd like to hear from
people that actually
it might be. I mean, my guy is a little more into horror and he's kind of into that, but I think he likes more of the Tarantino kind of, it's gruesome, but yet it's kind of funny or vindictive, or it has a bit more of a context rather than being just straight up gross.
Horror is a huge genre. Here, the psychology of a horror movie fan. Scientists have tried to figure out the appeal of axe murderers and creepy dolls, but it mostly remains a spooky mystery. Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, Nicole, keep reading. See what you can find. I will tell you what I don't mind. I kind of do dig at, like, a ghost story.
Me too.
I'm fine with that. I'm like, ugh. You know, and that's like when some of it's kind of true because you're intrigued, right?
Yeah.
You're like, interesting, creepy.
But I feel
is
like
it possible?
You're talking
Whoa.
About mystery and you're talking like, right. you know, a little, whereas yeah. gore is a little bit more just up in your
Repulsive.
Face, nothing. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I am always like, why would you want to see people dismembering other people with chainsaws? And I just don't get that. And I do think the problem is that when you desensitize that stuff for people, especially kids, like, I think we lose a little bit of our humanity.
Yeah, it might be a do-it-yourself how to make a psycho.
Well, movie analyst Phil Contrino told The Washington Post that horror and this kind of genre will never be dead because people always want to be scared.
But this seems to go beyond fear. It's macabre. Like, I remember the first season of Horror Story when it was like a ghost story.
Yeah,
right?
It was good.
And it wasn't like
and
ripping
you didn't know
out
who
eyeballs.
Was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, it was just kind of, you know, yeah, it was it was a mystery and then they were all dead. Sorry, spoiler alert, but that was a while ago. I doubt you'll start watching season one now. So
I did last year for Halloween.
Oh, God. But remember there was a movie called, oh, my God. It was based on a true story. It had Barbara Hershey. The Entity. Did you ever see that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God, Andy. So supposedly, this woman was, like, tortured, harassed by, like, an entity. And they said this is based on a true story, and this thing followed her. And I, to this day, I'm terrified of that. I'm like, that is off the chain.
What was that movie that we saw in the theater that time and you made Christy pee her pants?
Was it?
Maybe
it was like a ghost story,
and you grabbed her from behind, and she screamed really loud.
Yeah,
she said she slept with the lights on for 3 nights,
dude.
And it wasn't gory; it was just suspenseful. And because it was based on a real story, it was scary, like the doll and how it was in that kind of room, and they had all the scary
that's
artifacts.
Crazy though, I just think we got to be careful with our kids, like. Kids are so vulnerable.
This is interesting. They say that the studies that claim that people who like horror films tend to have three tendencies in common. They're sensation seeking, above average aggression, and maleness.
Maleness.
Maleness. What a word. This kid's got a lot of maleness.
Jake. That little boy has a lot of maleness.
Jake, you feel like... You feel like you got a lot of maleness? Do you like gore?
Not particularly. I don't seek bloody movies, no.
Mm-hmm. The ones that always terrified me were like the psychological thrillers, like the number 23 with Jim Carrey. After watching that, everything added up to 23 and
what
I couldn't
talking about?
It was a creepy movie where everything he saw added up to 23
Sometimes
and at the very end.
I feel
end.
Like you're from a different planet than
sure.
me.
Oh my God, Jake, did you ever
see
that
movie?
It's called Young.
I saw it, but I don't know. I prefer like suspense and somewhat believable horror where it's like, oh, wait, you know, are ghosts real? Could that happen? I also was terrified of aliens for some reason. I don't know why. I was terrified of being abducted. It was my biggest fear.
Are you just saying that because you know that's my thing?
No. I'd be in the bathroom and I'd be washing my face as a kid at nighttime and I'd look out the window and there'd be a tree moving. I'd be like, what if an alien pops up right now?
Yeah.
Really?
It gives you the butt probe. Pasadena.
I don't know why I was so afraid of him. And my dad, dad's always like, I'd go with them if they came. That would be so cool.
No. Not the Grays.
No.
I don't think so. Remember that face on Whitley Strieber's book, Communion?
I have the chills thinking about it.
Shorts. Really? Oh, I'll show you.
Signs was scary. And Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that little...
But those guys were good guys, Close Encounters of the
right,
Third Kind.
Right, but it's still so scary to me.
I think they were good guys.
That was a great movie.
Paranormal just has never frightened me. I feel like
Whitley,
that's explainable. But, like,
Strieber.
The human, like... Oh, that one serial killer that was, like, the... Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my God! Just the side of it.
The black eyes.
No, no, we don't need that here.
What? That looks like a cartoon, Jill.
No, dude, they're real. No, they're real, dude. No.
They just look like Russian supermodels in a way. Okay.
No, dude, this terrorized me as a kid. I'm not
Zodiac.
Kidding.
Oh, my God. That's
oh,
the one
Zodiac
who freaked me out.
Zodiac killer.
Yeah, it's just like human actions that could really happen.
Ramirez?
Richard Ramirez was the Night Stalker.
Oh, Night Stalker. Yeah.
Oh, I was so scared of him. But it was the picture that was on the news. But I'm like, I just don't know why we want to perpetuate that. I don't know why people teach kids about evil so young. Like, my kids were obsessed with bad guys. They're 3 and 5. And you know where they get it from, by the way? Books. Someone shot Bambi's mother. What kind of an asshole does that?
Sure.
They torture Dumbo in the circus. I mean, this is they're way too little.
Well, think about the witch in Snow White.
Yes!
She was the epitome
to
of
poison
evil.
You?
Poison.
Yeah!
Well, I may get excommunicated
Grimm's
for this comment.
Fairy tales?
But don't most church or religions try to teach you that, like,
hell?
God is the way to stay away from evil? And so they start teaching evil at a very young
Hansel
age.
And well, we didn't expose them to that, though. Hansel and Gretel.
Yep.
The witch is going to bake you in the oven.
Yeah.
What the? I don't understand. Honestly, do they ever get a moment to maintain their innocence? I think this segment at the end of the day is about watching my new show. And then after that, honestly, making Halloween.
Oh, I love that segue.
An opportunity for some fun. Like, we're dressing up as a family of Ninja Turtles. I'm supposed to be Splinter, the Rat Master.
Nice.
Heidi Shredder, the bad guy, which thrills me to no end. My mom is Donatello. Phoenix is Michelangelo. And I can't remember which one of them Lou is. And then Seven, the dog, is the other one. And that's it. It's like, it's an opportunity, I think, to just like fantasy, not horror. That's my suggestion. And your kids don't need to eat piles of crap.
No.
And who wants to give their kids food from strangers?
Yep.
Excuse me, speaking of horror movies. I don't think so. No, I would buy that stuff. I'm like, I think to make it fun, be like, for every piece of candy you get, I'll give you a nickel or something. And
that's
they get
a
like
good
$5 at the end of the night. And then put that shit in the garbage.
Or give it to your assistant who likes chocolate.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, we all know that sitting all day long is terrible for our health. Not just our posture, our heart health, our circulation, everything. So, so bad for you. And this is where Varidesk comes into play. These guys literally won awards for being one of the best variable height standing desks for people of all heights. So literally, you can convert your existing desk to a standing desk with no assembly, no installation needed. It's height adjustable, 11 different height adjustments. People of all different heights can use it. It ships fully assembled. It models for laptops, dual monitor setups. You can use it at your desk. You can use it at your cubicle. The prices start at just $175. You just visit varidesk.com. That's VARIDESK.com for more information. Varidesk.com. All right, it's October. I think we know what that means. Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I was going to say Halloween. Now I feel like a jerk.
Oh, you weren't going to say Christmas decorations?
Well, yeah. No, that's...
Freaking Canadian. After Thanksgiving, animal.
No.
After Thanksgiving.
No, because my Thanksgiving has already passed, so I'm already in the Christmas spirit because I've been anticipating it since last weekend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, with that said, first off, if you're an Angelino, I will be participating in Stand Up to Cancer's Night Nation Run. When is that, Nicole? When am I doing that? Is it 24th of October?
Yes, it's Saturday, October 24th at the StubHub Center.
Yeah, you should go.
I will.
Good. You're invited.
Thanks.
Yeah.
As long as I pump beforehand, I can run.
Yay. And speaking of pumping, I'm going to talk about that. That can help you avoid breast cancer. We're going
to
go over some tips. Nope, not kidding.
This is going to be a learning session for me.
It's meant to be.
Admittedly, I know nothing.
It's meant to be.
Of breast cancer. I'm ashamed and I should know
really
more.
Nothing?
No,
well,
not really. I do breast self-breast examinations.
Yeah, you got to do those. Oh my
gosh. I do those.
They're scary though because if you have fibrous or like lumpy or bumpy.
And some people have more fiber than others.
Yeah.
And cystic. doesn't necessarily mean anything, but...
Well, I was told...
And I have implants.
But you can still feel the little...
I guess so, but yeah, it's harder to detect.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. They say... I don't know who they are. Yeah. But they know all about my boobs, I guess.
Well, okay. We're going to talk about... I always feel weird talking about one specific cancer, right? Like, oh, it's breast cancer awareness. It's colon cancer awareness. But the reality is we should always be safe with our body. As safe as we can be.
Agreed.
And to a certain extent, I never want anybody to think, oh, I got cancer, you know... It's my fault. It that's not the case. But the reality is there are things we can do to help better our chances of avoiding it.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, when I look at our environment and all the chaos, you know, I'm looking at the carpet on the floor of the studio. I promise you that's off-gassing toxic fumes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The
yes.
plastic on the microphone, the paint on the walls. Like, there's nothing you can do. You can't take all the pollution out of the air and out of the water and out of the furniture around you. You can't. But there are certain things that you can do to mitigate your chances. And the first one, and this one sucks, is limiting alcohol. And that's because alcohol is, I know, dude, alcohol is estrogenic, period.
Even tequila?
All of it, goof.
Sadly, yes.
All of it. All of it. And they say that you should have no more than one drink a day, and I cannot tell you how many doctors I've talked to about that.
Well, what if I don't drink for 4 days? Can I have those four on a different day?
That is something that I actually asked, and I think the answer, honestly, is no.
No.
You don't want the big estrogen spike.
Yeah.
No.
It's accumulative. That's like eating one whole cake because you didn't eat a little piece every night.
Yeah, Nicole.
Okay, so what if...
You don't
want to
do that.
What if I were taking testosterone pills?
No.
To offset it?
You
yeah.
grow a beard and a penis.
Yeah.
You can grow one?
I think
yes.
so. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought you just had to get it built in the...
Well,
no,
you
know,
it would make your girl parts more androgenic.
A, right. More male.
More male.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get like a thumb, I think.
You'd end up with a thumb in your panties and then a little bit of a shadow on your chin. Put it that way.
Yeah. How does that sound?
And then if male pattern baldness runs in my family, I start to lose the rest of my hair?
Yeah, who knows?
For sure. Yeah. Actually, baldness is related to having too much testosterone. Mm. You should be careful. Yeah. So with that said, and by the way, just because you don't have breast cancer in the family, I can't remember the number. Google this. Because it very few of the people that are diagnosed with breast cancer had it genetically run in the family. So don't think, oh, I'm free. Nobody in my family's had breast cancer. Uh-uh. And limiting alcohol is one of them for those reasons. Don't smoke. I think we all know this one.
Yes.
For goodness sake. So I'm wondering, can you give me the number... of like the percentage of people diagnosed with breast cancer that had a genetic marker. Go to the doctor, check for the, I think it's the BR, the BRCA gene, the one Angelina Jolie was famous.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, check and see if you've got the BRCA gene so you can be prepared. You can make some smart decisions because that's almost in certain cases a foregone conclusion. So, but even if you don't have the BRCA gene, it doesn't mean, you know, it's not possible that you could get it. By the way, men can get breast cancer. Montel Williams? Yeah. Guys are not immune.
Wow.
No.
So I guess if you have mammaries, they're susceptible to just because they don't.
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. Obesity. We all know that.
Okay.
Obesity.
Yep.
And this is because your fat functions, it affects your hormone balance.
Yes.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. So, you know, a lot of breast cancers. And again, I'm not a doctor. This is information that's out there, and I've spoken to my own doctors about it. But they are obviously many are sensitive to estrogen, progesterone
receptors. Right?
Yes, exactly. And mm-hmm. so when you think about okay, what's going to have an effect on those hormones? Obesity does. Having excess fat ups your estrogen and progesterone.
So it's looking like 12% for breast cancer and 1.3% for ovarian cancer.
Have genetic
markers.
Right. 12%, which means that 88% of the people that get breast cancer don't have any family history of it.
Right.
None. Okay. Be physically active. Again, I feel like this is common sense, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, man.
And I just feel like anything that can be preventative,
the body.
Be preventative. Like, be preventative.
I agree. Breastfeeding. I remember reading this because supposedly the longer you breastfeed, the greater the protective effect. Apparently, God, a friend of mine who got breast cancer and luckily is a survivor had told me that ducts, I guess, or cells that can produce milk, like if you don't have a baby, they haven't been designated, like, oh, we're producing milk, this is what we do.
So they become susceptible.
They can become, exactly. Yeah. I know I'm not wording this correctly, but should you happen to become pregnant and have the ability to breastfeed, go for it. Get in there.
Wow.
And of course, you know, it's good for the little one if you can manage it. Wow. Okay. Limit the dose and duration of hormone therapies. So for menopause.
Okay.
And I remember talking to a doctor about this, and you know, your body goes through menopause for a reason.
Yes.
No, there's a reason. You know, yeah. You're no longer meant to have children. You don't need
to reproduce.
You don't need all of the estrogen and the progesterone. And there's a great book called Selling Sickness where they talk about how the pharmaceutical companies were like, oh my God, this is an affliction that we can give half the population. What was natural and cha-ching. Obvious is now an affliction. Menopause. Cha-ching.
Wow.
You got it. And, you know, that's a dangerous game. You're playing with, think about my horse, Busby, is a Premarin rescue.
Okay.
Pregnant mare urine. So what they would do is they would impregnate these big draft horses, keep them in these cement stalls, collect their urine.
Mm-hmm.
And then make hormones out of this urine, right? And then kill the horses, the baby horses, and re-impregnate the mother. Awesome, right? Well, that's not what they would do, what they do. So, in some cases. But the problem is that horse urine had like, I can't remember the number, it's like 20 plus different kinds of estrogens in there. We only have three. And so theoretically, like, what are we doing with all those foreign forms of estrogen? So this is why some people say, oh, but bioidentical. But the reality, at the end of the day, you know, if you're susceptible, and I don't, these doctors obviously don't have all the answers, but studies will show that when you're, you know, when you're taking stuff for menopause, or if you're on the certain kinds of birth control too long, like, you need to talk to your doctor about, all right, you know, what's my risk?
And new studies always,
about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And new studies are always emerging where they're looking for different, you know, precursors and cues and different markers. And then all of a sudden you learn something new about a different kind of hormone that you've been using at a different time in your life. And it expresses different consequences. You got to know, you got to be up on it. There's people that have been taking the same birth control pill for 15 years, you know, and then you learn about different like estrogen, progesterone ratios.
I know.
You got to be in the know.
Say, oh no, it fights. And remember we did that whole segment with Dr. V, and she's
yes,
like,
genius.
It can inhibit this in some cases, it can inhibit this kind of cancer, but it can enhance the chances of you getting that kind of cancer. You know, we don't know enough about it, blah, blah, blah. But here's one that I don't know why no one talks about this.
What?
Come on. The pesticides.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Really? I mean, come on. You'll find it, like, not in the mainstream. And it's because Big Pharma is linked to Big Food, is linked to, I mean, these companies that own your cancer medications are also owning the chemicals that are being sprayed on our crops. So no one's talking about this. Yeah. Think about it. Pesticide. It's poison.
Yeah.
And it's like all the pollution and the environment, all this stuff absolutely is playing a part. So my argument is, if you can't afford organic produce, Google the Clean 15.
Yeah.
And avoid the Dirty Dozen.
Good advice.
Limit your exposure as often as you can.
Yeah. I agree, Joel. That's
honestly
great advice.
Be smart. You know, we're not going to be able to control it all, but we can definitely mitigate it. So that is my tip for where you're trying to go.
That's good advice, Jill. I learned a lot.
I'm in the middle of a segment.
Sorry, they're here to be delivered.
Your shoes?
Your shoes.
What are you talking about?
Get you a pair of shoes outside.
Oh, let's see them. Go get those shoes. Let her go, Jill.
Fine. Okay. For my chefs out there, you know you love to cook, but maybe you don't have the time. Maybe you don't want to waste the money buying a ton of ingredients and having a lot left over for one recipe. Between your career, your commutes, those wonderful candlelit dinners have been replaced by takeout. Dun, 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 dun. Here's my advice. Plated is for people who love to cook but have no time to do the shopping and don't want to waste money on wasted ingredients. Just go to plated.com/Jillian and you can choose from amazing chef-designed recipes. New selections every week come up so everybody can pick things they love. It meets everybody's tastes. The culinary pros at Plated will lovingly fill a refrigerated box with the perfect pre-portioned ingredients for your dinner. That's right. If it requires a half a teaspoon of crushed red pepper, that's what you're going to get. Nothing is wasted. Prepare chef-quality meals in 30 minutes or less. Head over to plated.com/Jillian and get a free dinner for two with your first purchase. That's right. You get a free dinner for two, peeps. Go to plated.com/Jillian now. Plated.com/Jillian. Check out the recipes. Get started today.
Oh, Love Doctor.
Yes.
Do you have your lab coat on?
Of course I do.
We have a caller today, Sarah, who is in desperate need of Love Doctor's advice.
Oh, hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Andy is here today as well.
Hello, Sarah.
She's my nurse.
Hi.
The love nurse. We're here to help, girl. What's going on?
So, my boyfriend is very close with his ex, and kind of bothers me a bit, and I just don't know, like, what to do about it. I can't give him that ultimatum, me or her, but at the same time, it just bothers me so much that they're so close.
How long have you been dating?
Yeah, good one.
3 months.
Well, that's not long. How long have they been broken up?
Good one.
About a year.
Okay, and why did they break up?
I'm not 100% sure about all the details, but he says that he thinks of him as a brother.
He says she thinks of him as a brother?
She says that she thinks of him.
What does he think of her?
He doesn't say, as a friend, that all he says is friend.
How much time do they spend together?
Before I said that it bothered me, they would spend a couple days a week, talk every day.
How long were they together?
About a month.
Wait. They dated 1 month?
Yes.
Hold on. Wait a second. Wait. They dated a month, broke up, and then became good friends?
Yeah.
Were they friends before they dated?
No.
Wow.
Okay. Did they? This is fascinating. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm momentarily stumped. Hold on. So they, okay, but we don't know why they, you don't know why they broke up.
So you, I'm not 100% sure. It's something about her uncle said something and then she didn't believe, like drama. Nothing worth even really going into.
Okay.
Well, is there a reason they're not getting back together?
She is now with her daughter's father.
Her daughter's...
Okay, so she had a kid.
Oh, she had a kid. Oh, she went back. She went back to her... The kid's eight. So she went back to her ex-husband.
Boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
Got it. Okay, baby daddy.
Who she has a kid. Baby daddy.
Got it.
Okay. I think the bigger question here is like, Does your boyfriend have unrequited feelings? Right? Okay.
I don't know. Like, every time I bring it up, he just gets so defensive.
Ooh.
Like, no, we're just friends. That's it.
How many times have you brought it up?
Quite a few.
Okay. Well, maybe he's frustrated because it keeps coming up and he's answered it. So let's start with how did he handle it the first time you asked you? You asked him.
It was, we're just friends. How about you try being friends with her and get to know her?
So he's not keeping it secretive. He wants to include you in the friendship to prove that it's a friendship?
Yeah, and I tried.
So have you met her?
Yeah, I've met her.
And how did it go?
Doesn't sound good, Andy.
She told me all this stuff that she shouldn't have told me.
Like what?
He's only with you because he can't be with me.
Oh, well, there you go, girl. Well, there you go. No wonder you feel this way.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be friends with
her. And did you say that to your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told him.
And then what did he say?
He didn't say anything. He had no response.
Sarah, where are we now?
Sarah, I'm not sure about this guy. I'm not sure.
But honestly, everything else in the relationship is really good.
Except that girl that he keeps hanging around with that says, yeah. So that's
okay. I would do this, girl. If you hadn't just told me that last part, I would be like, listen, you know, he's including you. He's not hiding it from you. You know, it's very possible that they. But when you did hang around and she said, well, he's just with you because he's not with me, then that there you go. You've just had all your feelings validated right there. So whether or not he even still feels that way, it doesn't matter because she's a person that isn't supportive of your relationship.
Yeah,
obviously. She's a person that wants to see that come to an end. And I'm sorry to say that I would probably issue an ultimatum. Yeah. Which I normally would never do. I would never tell you, you cannot say to somebody, you know, who they can and can't be friends with. And, you know, if this person's going to, but at the bottom line is, I think you need to go back to him and just say, listen, I mean, here's the reality. I wouldn't feel this way if it hadn't been validated. I did it your way. I went to hang out. I was down to be, you know, I was down to have the full bro down and like become girls with this person. And, you know, she said all this stuff to me, which whether or not you feel this way still says that she does not want to see us together. She wants me to go away. She said those things to make me go away. And I'm going to tell you right now that I do feel like I'm drifting. It makes me feel afraid to be vulnerable with you for very legitimate reasons.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to say that if we continue our relationship, I don't feel comfortable with her being a part of your life. I mean, this is a person that clearly has feelings for you, clearly wants to see us split apart. And that's just not, you know, that's not a road I need to go down. That seems like a bunch of drama that I just can't be a part of. And I really love you or, you know, wherever you're at here. Am I being impulsive?
No,
I would be the first one to chime in here, ladies.
Sarah, it's weird.
Jake, everybody, hold on.
Jake.
We're going to the gallery.
Go to the man for a sec.
Yeah. Jakester? Your mic's not on. You're the sound engineer.
Things don't sound great.
He's not wearing a stethoscope, by the way. Yeah, he doesn't have a stethoscope. Sarah, I don't usually, like Jill said, I would never be the ultimatum. I think it's juvenile and immature and insecure. But when you have a girl who sounds like it works for her, that she feels that way, she needs to hang on to this dude to feel that way. And so there's something in there that's just not cool. And if he knows she said it and he's still seeing her, your feelings aren't being put first. And I don't mean to sound whiny with that, but if he's dating you, your feelings have to trump hers.
Yeah. And she is juvenile about things. She'll post things on Facebook and she'll say, like, you know, those little pictures. And it's like sloppy seconds, things like that about boyfriends.
Oh, girl.
Oh.
And then she'll be like, if I wanted him back, I'd have him back in the blink of an eye.
All right, pause. Ready? Here we go.
Give him back.
Give him back.
You can have him.
And the fact that but the bigger problem here, and now we're beyond that. Okay, so now the bigger question, I was hoping to God we weren't going to have to get into this. I was like, maybe this is just going to be some light, friendly advice, but it isn't, because the fact that you've entered into this, like, this very messy dynamic again, it says so much, like, why you've tolerated this and allowed it is where you're not odd. It's where you're, what you need to be looking at. Like, what part of you is like, yeah, let me hang around and get involved in this, forgive me for lack of a better term, shit show.
The only reason that I've stuck around is because it's the only problem that we have. When we're together and she's not on either of our minds, we have so much fun together. Like, we're so in love. Like, It was like love at first sight with us.
Sure, but then it's selective because then what's happening is you're in one room that's blissful, but, you know, there's another door, and when it opens, you're sloppy seconds on social media. All that is just so gross.
Yep, and that's disrespectful to you. So
it is.
Buddy, you gotta, I mean, and the fact that the boyfriend's not doing anything about it, it means he likes being in the middle of this sort of cat fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is really not great.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Sarah, you got to think about that. Like something that works for him. He almost has two girls after him, and that must feel really great.
And powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah. No. That's not good, sweetie. This isn't good.
Hashtag see you around.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've been in a relationship like this?
Yeah.
For sure?
What do you mean like this?
Have you ever been in any kind of dynamic like this?
With the ex? No.
No, what she means kind of is like, could this possibly be a pattern?
Right.
Like, have you been in a relationship before where you kind of, the person hasn't put you first, but you stayed?
I love I have an interpreter now. And he's like, let me try to explain. Here's what Jillian is trying to say.
I think she just thought about the ex.
You guess it's the first time?
I guess not.
No.
It's not the first time. Okay. So, Bud, go ahead, Andy. Take it. Run with it, girl. Here's the ball. Go, girl.
Say,
here's the ball.
You know, the reason why this is a trigger for me, Sarah, is because we have a friend right now who's kind of got a little bit of a pattern, and I look out for it when I talk to girls in relationships where they're just not being treated the way they should. But the fact is that I always turn and say, why are you staying? Why are you tolerating that? And if this isn't the first time it's happened, you're going to kind of have to, you know, you got to get your walking boots on a little quicker than 3 months, I feel. And not to say that, you know, that sounds insensitive, but you're way better than a situation like that. I don't even know you. I don't even need to be your bestie to know that that is not cool. No guy should be allowing two girls pinned up against each other and tolerating one woman saying that about his girlfriend. That's just not cool.
Yeah.
And if there's ever been a situation like that before with you, then you know, we've got to look to Sarah on why she runs to relationships like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it, honey. I mean, I've seen this over and over, and I'm telling you, it's because we're all human and we all play out these kinds of patterns. So this is a pattern for you, and it's not about this guy. I promise you, just like with our friend, it's not about the guy she dates. It's about her very, very abusive mother. And as she continues to play it out in relationships, and the problem is that it doesn't get better in time. If it's unresolved, it just gets worse. And so this is where you really need to, I would kick, here's the thing, we can tell you to kick the guy to the curb, but you're not even acting it's not even about him, which might sound crazy to you, but the fact that it's a pattern means this is all about you and what you're trying to heal and what you're trying to play out. So, well, I can say, hey, you know, run from this, get into therapy and start analyzing this pattern. That's very easy to say. It's very, very hard to do. But you know, as people who, you know, don't know you, but, you know, have nothing but like, we have no reason to have anything other than good intentions for you, right? We have no agenda with you whatsoever. Like, you're just this lovely girl who called into the show, and, like, we have no vested interest in this other to try to help you become a little bit happier. The reality is, you know, had you said no, this is an isolated incident, and I needed a reality check, I would have been like, fantastic, dump him and run. But the problem is, you know, you answered the pivotal question with an answer that is, you know, it's a pattern. And that's where this is just, I'm sorry to say, this is so much deeper. And this is where you got to kind of go, okay, when did the pattern begin? Which one of my most historical relationships is this mirroring? What is it making me feel like? When's the first time I remember feeling like this in my life? What has made me feel like this consistently? Why am I continuing to play this out? And that's when you need to refrain from all relationships for a little while and deal with the issue where it belongs, so you don't continue to replay these abusive patterns. Because you're dealing with them, you're airing them out, you're working through them. And this is where I might suggest, again, it always comes down to this, but my mom always says the problem with dealing with things that are unconscious. So, like, if I said to you right now, tell me, why are you playing out this pattern with men? Do you have an answer?
No.
No.
Right.
But I promise you, if we spend another hour on the phone, I might be able to get to it. But the reason you don't have an answer is because it's what's called unconscious. So, you know, mm-hmm. we stuff that answer down because it's way too painful to look at, right? So it's impossible to heal something alone when it's unconscious. That's the whole point of it being unconscious. And this is where getting some counseling or working with a therapist allows us to kind of go, okay, what is at the root of these very destructive behaviors that I continue to engage in? And they help you answer those really critical questions and expose those unconscious issues so that they can be worked through and you can stop playing them out in ways that are hurting you, like this batshit dynamic you're in with this crazy vicious lady and your mm-hmm. narcissistic boyfriend, because that's what you've got on your hands here,
yeah,
sweetheart.
I agree. Yeah, I want you to ask how fast can I run, not what do I do about these two jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what I would rather have in your future. Like, that's not okay. That's not okay. You got to agree with that's just not okay. And want to have something different, a different standard, not an execution of what to do about the situation, but what to do in the future when right. you're analyzing the right kind of men that are going to really give you that pure joy and love that you feel only partially when this other third party girl isn't around.
Yeah.
You got it, kid.
Does that mean you're going to do it?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to think about it.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's sweetie. Okay.
That's, you know, if you were to be like, yes, I mean, mama, if, do you know what I'm saying? It's okay. It takes time. But I'm going to tell you this, the longer you run from it now, the worse it gets with time.
Yeah.
And I get it. I know it's providing you with something. We all engage in these behaviors because they provide us with something.
Sure.
But when the pain of the situation outweighs whatever safety or security that it's providing you, that's when you'll get the help.
Yes.
And so we support you. We're here for you. We just want you to know, you know, you're worth more than this. And when the time comes, find yourself a good counselor and work this through, and it'll be okay. Promise.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Have a great day.
You too.
How about me? How about me letting her... I know exactly what segment I'm putting this with.
Oh.
Other people's mistakes! How about me? Enough about Sarah. What about me? I know exactly where this is going in the show.
Yeah, but Jill is so moved about helping people. She's going to text me at 3 a.m. going, I'm still up thinking about that Sarah
yeah.
girl.
Sarah!
I'm going to get her some counseling and have...
Dude, you can't. I mean, I'm just getting to this point where it's like, I'm like, you know, she's not ready. That wasn't the answer she wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she wanted us to be like, kick him to the... kick, make him tell her go away. But, and I would have... Had she not said, yeah, this is a pattern. Yeah. I was like, oh, girl. Damn you. Damn you. And I just wanted to keep it simple. And I was like, I feel like every time we take one of these calls, I'm like, tell me about your mother. You know, and the problem is that it is always going to be that. I mean, if we think about those very primary relationships, right? Mommy, daddy, family dynamic. It's always going to be that, dude. It's always going to come back to that.
I'm sorry. It's true. All
it's just
behaviors
always, yeah.
go to an origin.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Patterns that we learned very young that get, you know, for them to take such a stronghold, I guarantee you it's a family dynamic and she's playing it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can I heal the dynamic elsewhere? Because it's like unfixable at home and it's too painful to appreciate because I don't want to think of my parents as anything other than perfect. Mm-hmm. I wasn't incest or beaten and nobody was an alcoholic or a drug addict. So everything was good. How dare I be less than satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so hard for us to contend with good and bad. You know, like people that love us and disappoint us because it's just there's so much pain in that.
Yep.
So everything has to be black and white and everything goes into denial. And so I just, you know, this girl's got her own journey. By the way, just like we all do.
Yep.
Jesus, man, we're all on the same path. And it's like we come to these kind of realizations and then hopefully beyond the realization, we do the work on those realizations. on our own time frame. And I'm also accepting the fact that sometimes it doesn't happen in this lifetime.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it just doesn't, and that's okay too. I'm like, I'm not God. You know, we can try to put all the information in the world out there. Look at me. Look at me. We can try to put all the information in the world out there. And you know what? I think the time will come for this kid, though, because she did call. She did call, which means that the moment's going to come, and she's going to think back to this when it gets that painful. And this guy's going to do something that's really going to hurt her.
Yep.
And then she's going to be forced out of this dynamic at some point and hopefully right into therapy.
And not right off on your motorcycle. No names mentioned.
Oh, girl.
Jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.